getting something, getting it only takes a couple of pencil strokes to really spark my imagination. That looks really interesting. Just a couple of pencil strokes, and then it kind of builds from there. And from that point, I try to work in the function of the piece, because if it's not functional, it's not doing its job. So after we come up with the conceptual idea of the piece, and the drawings have evolved to something that I feel comfortable in, the design would be approved. And then from that point, I start with cardboard usually, and do a full-scale prototype to see how it feels in three dimensions, and really work out some of the scale details. From that point, we go into doing a prototype. I like to work with poplar at that point. It's an easy wood to work with. It's a hardwood, it works a lot like a lot of the woods I work with. So in cutting and finishing, that kind of thing. From that point, I'll do a scale prototype to work out any other issues that may come up, depending on the design, of course. From that point, I'll do a full-scale prototype, which would entail building the jigs or tooling that need to create the piece. After I've worked out any issues that may come up there, I'm ready to start working with the exotic woods and start the piece itself. So at that point, I keep my clients posted on the progress of the piece as I'm building it. I photograph it, and there's many emails throughout the process. Sometimes there's not much to see at the beginning. There's getting the wood and cutting the wood and gluing the wood up and, you know, really building the pieces and the tools that I need to put the whole piece together. But once it starts coming together, then you start seeing something happening. And at the end, I don't like to show the client the final piece. I like to I like them to see that when I deliver it. So when I'm about 80% done or so, that's the last pictures you get. And then from there, when it's delivered, it's...
USA Radio News.
We have breaking news out of Washington, D.C., where former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort, in a suit, sitting in a wheelchair, has apologized for his crimes. Manafort saying he is sorry as he's being sentenced in a D.C. federal courtroom, noting he feels like a different person now. Manafort says he will soon turn 70. He's asking for leniency so he can be with his wife in his last years. Manafort pleaded guilty to conspiracy and witness tampering. He could face up to 10 years in prison when he's sentenced in a matter of minutes. In a separate case in Virginia last week, Manafort was given nearly 4 years in prison for tax fraud, bank fraud, and failure to report foreign lobbying. The case is brought by Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office, but do not directly relate to the Russia probe. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care, because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control of your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Governments around the world are grounding Boeing 737 MAX jets after a second deadly crash in 4 months on Sunday. Elaine Chao, the transportation secretary, says the U.S. will do the same if evidence is found they're unsafe.
The department and the FAA will not hesitate to take immediate and appropriate action.
But so far, the FAA has not grounded those planes here. Officials say at least 10 people, including 5 students and 2 shooters, are dead after a school shooting in Brazil. They say 2 hooded teen shooters entered the state school and started firing before taking their own lives. In one of his first major public appearances since retiring from Congress at the start of the year, former Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan says President Trump could lose his re-election bid. Speaking last night in Florida, Ryan said some Democrats are in a position to beat Trump. And this is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night's sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA when you click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.
The annual report on the state of human rights around the world has been released today by the State Department. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the report singles out the government of Iran.
Last year, the regime killed over 20 people and arrested thousands without due process, just for protesting for their rights. This continues the pattern of cruelty that the regime has inflicted upon the Iranian people for the last 4 decades.
This year's report is released as the Trump White House continues to push European allies to join the U.S. in imposing sanctions and cutting off trade with Iran. President Trump does not think it's a good idea that California's Governor Gavin Newsom is today going to announce he's suspending executions in the state. On Twitter, the president says Newsom is, quote, defying the voters, as the governor is giving a reprieve to all 737 inmates on death row. President Trump adding, quote, friends and families of the always forgotten victims are not thrilled, and neither am I. Newsom expected to make it official later today with an executive order that will decry the death penalty as being inconsistent with the state's bedrock values. And a very strong late winter storm known as a bomb cyclone impacting millions of Americans today, especially in the central U.S. and the northern plains. At least 1,000 flights have been canceled because of this storm, which could include snow and hurricane-force winds. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
The weather for today, mostly sunny with a high near 51. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 34. Partly sunny with a high near 56 for tomorrow. And a chance of rain Thursday night with a low of 49. Friday, a chance of showers, then showers possible and thunderstorms after 9 a.m. with a high near 62. Friday night, possible thunderstorms with a low of 42. Saturday looks like the high is going to be 48, and Sunday a high near 43. Both days look sunny.
It turned off Wi-Fi. It's actually in airplane mode, but.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Hey, good news, people. I've been on the show talking, and I haven't had you on. This is Ruth Osmeroll. I am a licensed professional counselor. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. You know, I came in this morning to do counselor's chat, and as luck would have it, the Facebook is down for maintenance. So I'm not videotaping, I'm just doing, and so I'm playing with everything. And of course, I started my show probably a good 3 or 4 minutes ago and realized I didn't have the microphone on. So anyway, for those of you that know me and know that I've been doing the show for like umpteen years, this is just a continuous thing. I'm really kind of, it's kind of funny. Anyway, so again, I am Ruth Altamirabal, your host for Counselor's Chat, and I am bringing it to you from the Hunterdon Chamber Radio to educate you about mental health and to promote removing the stigma around counseling. And my topic today is being optimistic and how it helps good mental health. So let me think, where did I even start talking about we're not born with positive thinking or negative thinking? It's something that we learn through observation, the language of our parents. So if I hear, you know, my dad say, you know, I never do anything right and work sucks and my boss is terrible, and I hear my mom saying things, you know, she looks in the mirror and she complains about how she looks and she says how fat she is, and you know, she says what a lousy cook she is, if she's the one that's doing the cooking. I'm just using that as an example. So that what happens is, even as I am learning language in general, I am learning to speak in a negative way. So my thought processes become negative. I may not even recognize it because it's the language of my family. So one of the things that's really important to start off with is to notice, what are you saying? Is the words you're choosing, are they negative? Is the thoughts, your self-talk, is it negative? I can't stand it. Life is always, if bad things are going to happen, they're going to happen to me. I've got that eternal, you know, dark cloud over my head. It follows me everywhere I go. I just can't seem to get anything right. I never get a break. You know, we say these things over and over and over again, and it causes, as I said before I turned my mic on, that it causes a rut. So, you know, if our tire gets stuck in a rut, that's the easiest way for it to go. It's like a track. And our brain creates this pathway, and that's just, you know, over the more we practice something, the more habitual it becomes. It doesn't mean that we have to stay that way. We can learn to be optimistic. Now, some people say, why bother being optimistic? Because everything's going to fail anyway. Well, you know, I keep showing up here and the equipment just keeps doing its thing, and I'm optimistic at some point it's going to work out, and it's going to work out week after week. And this week, for whatever reason, Facebook decided to do an update at 12 noon. So I'm going to make an assumption that I'm not the only one struggling with some Facebook issues. So one of the things that's really important is, again, becoming aware of your thinking and even the words that you use in conversation. So one of the things that I've mentioned before, and I think it's maybe been a while, is cognitive behavioral therapy is probably the most used and the most successful therapy that there is. Not the only one, but it's very powerful because part of what it does is it suggests that we look at our thinking and our behavior and change it. And when we change it, we have different outcomes. So that let's say I got passed over a promotion. I come home from work and I'm, you know what, the other guy, he doesn't deserve it, I deserve it, and you know, they always pass me over, and you know, I'm thinking like a victim and I feel like a victim. And when I go to work, Maybe I even struggle with being passive aggressive. So when I go to work, I don't work up to capacity and I try and sabotage someone else because I'm angry because I got passed over. And it's really based on the way that I think. So I've got negative thinking, gets triggered sometimes by an activating event, like the guy next to me got the promotion or the girl next to me got the promotion, and now I'm really angry about it and my thinking is negative. So becoming aware of my thought process is really important. If my thought processes are negative, then chances are the outcome is going to be negative, and I may even end up anxious and depressed. Chances are it even affects my self-esteem. So my self-esteem is low because if bad things are going to happen, you know, they are going to happen to me. So when I become aware of that, I can start making changes. Now, a lot of times I give my clients lists of positive affirmations. I'm a good person, I'm capable, I'm lovable, I can make good choices in my life, those kinds of statements. And they'll read those statements and they'll say, yeah, no, I don't think this applies to me at all, I can't do this. Well, the reality is I'm so practiced in negative thinking, or you're so practiced in negative thinking, that feels uncomfortable and I can't even believe it. So one of the things that I suggest all the time is make a list. Make a list of your negative thoughts and the negative things that you say. Get a journal, pad of paper, it doesn't matter, and just list all the negative things. I look fat this morning. I don't feel like taking care of myself. Everyone's out to get me. Whatever those negative statements are, start listing them, so that you become aware of them. Just, you know, keep a notepad somewhere or use notes on your cell phone or your computer. Just keep a note, keep a record. Then think about how you can counter that statement. So the statement might be, I got up this morning, I put on 3 or 4 outfits, nothing looked good on me, I felt really fat. That's my statement. So the other one can be, the positive one is, I'm working at being healthy. I can accept myself the way I am. I'm satisfied with how I look. I don't have to be perfect. I'm going to stop judging myself. So it's making statements like that can be useful. So when I now start writing it out, I've got my negative statements and I've got my positive statements. And those positive statements are things that are going to counterattack, for lack of any other word, the negative statements. And that's why positive affirmations are important. I may not be able to come up with those on my own. So I can Google positive affirmations. And I think it's positive to say positive affirmations because we can affirm the negative. All the negative statements that I make about myself, I am affirming and confirming them as to be true. They may not be true, but that's what I'm doing by repeating them over and over again. I want to create a whole new language. So you can control that. The other thing that you can do also is work on gratitude. Now, a lot of times people say, yeah, but I'm not grateful for anything. Well, you know, you could start with a really small gratitude list. And I have had clients that say, they have actually laughed. They say, well, that's ridiculous. I'm grateful for my eyelashes. Well, why not? I'm grateful that I have teeth. Yeah, some people don't have teeth. I'm grateful that I have both my hands and both my feet. I'm grateful that I can think. I'm grateful that I have the ability to make some healthy choices for myself. So when we begin to make a gratitude list, we also can build on that. And that gratitude list then starts adding to our positive affirmations. And it helps us to become more optimistic. learning how to be grateful and focus on what you do have instead of what you don't have. I don't know anyone, it doesn't matter how much you do have, that doesn't look at what they don't have. You could be very wealthy and still say, yes, well, that wealthy person over there has 3 planes, and I only have 2 planes because that's all I can afford. I mean, we just do that, and we don't have to do that. We could work at just being grateful for what we do have instead of looking at what we don't have. There's always someone that's got a bigger house, a better job, someone who's thinner, someone who's taller, has got a better car. There's always someone out there. There's even a better therapist than I am. Not many. No, just saying that. But anyway, you know, that's really the thing. It's saying, what am I grateful for? I'm grateful that I have water to drink. I'm grateful that I have food to eat. I'm grateful that I have shelter. Doing those things can help us become more optimistic. So being grateful, focusing on what you do have and not what you don't have. Now, a lot of times, one of the things that happens in therapy, if clients will come in and they'll talk about something that they're struggling with, or a relationship that's not going well, or job that's not going well, I say to them, "What is the opportunity?" Now, the word opportunity and optimism, I think, are probably related in some way. There's probably some Latin words somewhere. But that's what I say to them. What's the opportunity here? What is it that you can learn? So it's not necessarily looking at what you've lost, but what is it you can learn? What is a goal that you can set up for yourself based on this particular issue? So I am always learning about technology. I could just say, you know what, it's way above my head, and forget it. I'm just not going to learn it. But, you know, everything is an opportunity. So even this morning, it's an opportunity. Figure out what's going on. Maybe today my show's not supposed to be televised, or whatever the word is, stream live. That's okay. It is what it is. And it's about, you know what, moving on. There's an opportunity always for learning something new. And I think that that's really important. That is part of optimism. What can I learn here? So maybe I'm on a sports team at work, or maybe I'm a kid in school and I didn't do well on soccer or something like that. It's always instead of going, and you know what, we have parents that say, oh, you should have this and you should have that. Well, you know what, that's not helping. So, okay, what's the opportunity? What did you learn? What did you learn? You know, how can you strive for something more? These are all ways of training our brain to be optimistic. And that's really important. The other thing, too, is sometimes when things get really frustrating, such as technology, it's okay to have a few minutes to whine and complain and just sort of let the frustration out. And, you know, I have to say, I have done it here at the chamber. I have gone downstairs and said, okay, you know what? I've really kind of had it. And I apologize. I say, I'm really sorry I'm having a little temper tantrum with the equipment. And I'm done. I let out my frustration. I say to people, this is not personal. This is just about my being frustrated. And I move on. And it's the same thing. So it's not about holding on to it and creating resentment, because resentment is just going to keep you in that negative frame of thinking. It's really saying, you know what, I just need to let off a little steam. I'm feeling frustrated right now. And what's the opportunity? What can I learn here? Maybe it's even I'm learning how to deal with my own frustration. That may be the opportunity, that I may have a short temper, and I'm learning how to practice patience. There's always opportunities, and that's part of being optimistic.
So I really think there's some kind of something going on, because I generally kind of have some, I'm going to say, ticklers on my iPad, and it keeps going on and off, on and off. Problem occurring on the web page, so it's reloading. So I do think that there's technical difficulties, which, for once, it's not actually me. But again, you know, it's an opportunity to learn more things and figure out what's going on, and that's okay. So one of the things, too, about developing optimism is notice what is going well. Sometimes I sit in my office and I listen to my clients. This isn't working out, and that's not working out, and every person I'm dating is awful, and my job is awful, and on it goes. And all I could do is just see all of this stuff that's negative. And you know, I literally pick up my garbage can, and I bring it over to my chair, and I look at it. I kind of stick my head in my garbage can a little bit, and I'm like, oh, look. Paper, oh look, a wet tea bag, oh my God, this is just disgusting. That's all I'm doing, is looking at all the garbage in my life. And I say to them, you know what? I'm going to lift my head up out of the garbage, and I'm going to see what is going well in my office, what is working correctly in my life. Because not everything, and we tend to say that, everything is always awful. Everything is always awful. Now, that's a little bit of that cognitive behavioral mindset when we use everything. That's an absolute statement. Everything. Well, you know what? Everything isn't always, and that's another absolute statement, awful. There are many, many things in our lives that are not completely awful. So it's important to sort of recognize that and ask yourself, what is going well? Again, it might be a small thing. So when I came in, I turned the light switch on and the lights went on. So that's working. So not everything isn't working. I got in my car this morning. It started up. Got me here. That's working. There are many things that are working in my life. So, and I'm just using those things as frames of mechanical things, technology things. I mean, our cars today are just loaded with technology. So, yeah, my car was working fine. I actually got a couple of phone calls while I was driving here, and that all worked. My phone worked. Everything was working fine. So there's nothing for me to, you know, I can make it my choice of thinking. I can make it that my whole day has been ruined because Facebook is doing maintenance. So that negative thinking. That's a choice. Believe it or not, people, it is a choice to look at things in a way that's negative. It's that habit. It's a language that I've been taught. I can teach myself a new way of thinking and talking. One of the things that I can do also is I can look at my accomplishments. What have I achieved? Now, if I have a belief system that says achievement means big, lofty goals, well, you know, I'm not the president of Exxon, and I don't have a yacht, and you know, everything isn't peachy keen, so I can't look at my achievements. But there's many things that I have accomplished. And again, sometimes for some people, sometimes it really is even starting small. Like you accomplished getting in your car and showing up. You accomplished getting dressed. You accomplished eating something. I said, did you pay your bills? Yeah, well, you accomplished something. You know, so we don't have to have these big lofty ideas. We can start with little things. The other thing, too, is I ask people, well, what do other people say about you? Well, they say I'm a good person, or they, you know, they've complimented me on this, that, or the other thing. And I said, so what, you don't believe them? You think everybody is lying to you? Well, no. So then let's take that in and use that information. So if your boss said, hey, you did a great job on that report or that, you know, that project, then take that in. Or if your spouse said, you know, honey, dinner was fantastic tonight, take that in. If you've done a task and you yourself feel like, well, you know what, that actually came out pretty well, take that in. All of these things begin to add to that framework of being optimistic. I can do things. Not everything is a failure. I can achieve many things. I'm grateful for things. I have negative thinking, which I can learn how to stop and practice positive thinking. One of the things that can happen sometimes when we struggle with being pessimistic and or optimistic is we actually can have some burnout where we feel exhausted. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. I know I've had burnout a number of times in my life. Sometimes, you know, it lasts a long period of time. Sometimes I feel burnt out on Monday, and then I feel energized on Tuesday, and then I feel burnt out on Wednesday, and Thursday morning I'm good, and Thursday evening I've had it. So the thing is that it's okay to have burnout. The thing is, it's actually important to recognize that and be honest with yourself and give yourself a break. Tell yourself you need a rest. So I'm going to say don't remember. It was maybe Monday. I was working on taxes. So, you know, taxes make us feel good, right? So I was putting all of this stuff together in this paperwork and getting stuff organized. I do my business taxes. I do my family taxes. I do my mom's taxes. I have to get it all ready to go to take it to H&R Block. That's where we get our taxes done. And, you know, I've got all this paperwork to organize, and I also wanted to clean. And that's my tendency. I tend to put on way too much stuff for me to accomplish by the end of the day, because I was going to do all of that and clean the house. And I had about an hour and a half before I actually had to get into my office, because I had some clients in the evening. And I said, you know what? I'm tired. I'm beginning to get frustrated. So noticing my feelings, I'm tired. I'm beginning to get frustrated. I hadn't had lunch yet. You know what? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have some lunch and I'm going to put the television on, and you know what? I'll clean the house another day. It's not that I'm not going to ever clean the house. It's just that, you know what? I'm tired. I'm beginning to feel frustrated. I'm noticing that I am beginning to experience some exhaustion or some burnout. Let me stop and give myself a rest. It's a good thing to do that, because it actually helps with being positive. One of the things that happens is I regain some of my energy, and then I could go back and tackle something, because I needed that break. So acknowledging burnout is a good thing. It means, that feeling means I need to stop and rest and collect myself and not beat myself up. What's wrong with me that I don't have enough energy? I should be able to get these tasks done. That's a negative cognitive statement. Okay. I can't stand it. I can't stand myself when I don't have the energy to get it all done. I'm berating myself. I'm lowering my self-esteem. No, that feeling is telling me to stop and rest, regain some of my energy, and continue forward. It's kind of like doing a shift exercise. So maybe I'm concentrating on this one thing and I'm beginning to get really tired. I can stop and do something else for a while and come back to it. Many times we have deadlines that we set for ourselves. They're just things that we do. It's not necessarily work-related. And even if it is work-related, we actually can go to our boss and say, you know what, I have this deadline. And I say, well, it's coming all the way up from the top. I know that. It's still not going to happen. And so what we may want to do is say, let me give you what I've accomplished so far at the deadline time, because I also need a break. Because I if you want me to do this project or get this particular thing done to the best of my ability, I actually need to step away a little bit and shift. Sometimes I suggest to people who work in corporate, they're feeling overwhelmed. So what do you do for lunch? Oh, I work right through lunch. Don't work through lunch. You get lunch. Go for a walk. Today's a nice day. It's a little chilly out, but it's not windy. The sun is shining. Take a 15-minute break and go for a walk. The walk is going to help clear your brain, get some oxygen in your system. You feel better. You get back to your desk. You re-energize. You sort of had a shift. And you end up feeling, again, re-energized, and you're able to do more things. One of the things that you can do also is when you notice the negative thinking, when you notice yourself sliding down, because that's, again, really important, tell yourself to stop. And I think that's really important, to tell yourself to stop. Stop negative thinking. Now, our brain likes to think. That's its job. And if I cannot come up with anything positive, so I've said negative thinking, nothing works out for me, everything just, you know, just is terrible, my personal life is terrible, my relationships are terrible, I can't lose weight, everything's just awful, I'm going to tell myself to stop. I don't know what to say that's positive. I don't have access to, which we all do, we could just Google positive affirmations, but sometimes we don't even think of it. We don't even think of it. So my suggestion would be to actually practice mindfulness. So in that mindfulness practice, I'm still thinking, because that's what my brain does, but I'm going to make myself a cup of tea. What color is my mug? What kind of tea am I having? Am I putting it in the microwave to make hot water, or am I boiling it? Do I have a whistle? What does the teapot look like? What does the tea smell like as it's brewing? What do I put in my tea? Am I putting milk? Am I putting lemon? Am I putting nothing? Do I hear the spoon stirring? Is the cup or mug warm as I pick it up? What does it taste like as I'm sipping it? Can I feel the warmth going down? That's being mindful. Just having a cup of tea. And that will stop the negative thinking, because I need to tell myself to stop and I need to put something new in its place. Again, if I can't come up with a positive affirmation, if I don't think about Googling positive affirmations, if I don't have positive self-talk post-it notes around my house, because, you know, we could do that. I can't think of positive stuff. I need positive statements around, so I use post-it notes. Can't do that, then I practice some mindfulness. And that can help. Because what it does is it really helps me focus on small things that I'm doing right in the moment. I might even want to say, you know what, the mind practice right now is I'm going to practice gratitude. I know I talked about it earlier, but let me just stop the negative and start writing things that I'm grateful for. Small things, like I've said. Think about each day as a new opportunity. Again, there's that word, opportunity. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to say to myself, well, today I'm going to practice to be more optimistic. I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to see, what are the positive things? What are, even if they're small, I look out my kitchen window. And I have a tree that's not too far from the house that we hang bird feeders from, the ones where you put little bird seed cakes in. I always have a choice because we have raccoons. And raccoons like to eat the bird seed cakes. And these little smart raccoons know how to take not just the bird seed, but the whole cage that keeps the bird seed. And I would say we probably buy about 20 of these things a year because, and we've chained them up, and we've clipped them on, and it doesn't matter. We use twist ties to keep them closed. And in the summer, when we walk, because we have, live in the woods, we walk around in the woods, and we find all these little cages opened up usually. I can say, oh, these nasty raccoons, I hate them. All right, so that's negative. Or I could say to myself, you know what? When I get up, I'm going to look out the window, and I'm going to notice. You know, we got one left. One left. I just noticed this morning. We have had three, and now there's one left. And you know what? I'm really glad to look at the birds. The birds that are there, the squirrels. I can focus on, okay, and choose what I think about. So I'm going to make the suggestion to myself. When I look out the window, so it's an opportunity. When I look out the window, when I notice that those little bird cages are gone, I'm not going to go down those friggin' raccoons. I'm going to say, you know what? Those raccoons, they have a right to eat also. Even though it's called bird seed, it doesn't mean that it's only for the birds. The deer come and eat it, and the squirrels eat it. I'm going to take the opportunity to think positively instead of negatively. I'm going to make that choice for today. And I'm going to practice it each day. The more I do it, the more it becomes a new habit. One of the other things that's really important is self-care. So, are you eating healthy, sleeping, getting exercise? If you're falling short on these things, chances are you'll be a little bit more pessimistic than optimistic. So the better care you take of yourself, the happier and more optimistic you actually become. Remember that self-care is not selfish. You're honoring yourself and taking care of yourself. And when you take care of yourself, you actually have energies to help others, which then builds optimism. Because I can see that I have the inner strength, I've got the energy to go out and help other people. I'm not dragging around. And so that also adds to being optimistic. Sometimes, and I know this used to be me, I ask myself, why me? Why are these bad things always happening to me? Well, I actually did get an answer. And the answer for me was, why not me? Why not me? What is my lesson? Again, see, there's that opportunity. What is it that I'm learning? What is it that I need to learn? So, series of bad relationships. Why me? Why can't I find somebody that I can have a healthy relationship? Well, I needed to learn things. I needed to say, what is going on with me that I need to learn? How do I need to think differently? How do I need to behave differently? How can I make things work better? How is this going to help me grow to move forward? So why me tends to be a statement of self-pity and being a victim. If I say, well, you know what, I seem to have had this string of things that go on. What is it that I need to learn? What is the opportunity? These things are really, really important to ask yourself. Not to get stuck in the why me, because the why me is a pity statement, like I said. Self-pity, okay, is not self-care. And self-care is not selfish. So it's remembering that and putting these things into practice. So it's important to evaluate where we are and look at making changes in our lives. Changing the negative thinking to positive thinking. That positive thinking helps us feel more optimistic. look at also the people you have in your lives. Your circle of influence. Who are those people? Well, sometimes we notice, or I've noticed, and I remember, that I would gravitate to negative people because they reinforce my own negative thinking. Yeah, me too. Life sucks. Yeah, life sucks. It's awful. Yeah, it's awful for me too. And so we feed on each other. And it influences and confirms my negative perspective. And it keeps me in that pit of negativity. So I might want to evaluate my friends and even my family, because self-care sometimes means I have to make choices where, you know what, I am not sure if this relationship is really helping me. Because every time I'm with this person, we agree on all the negative, and I leave that interaction feeling worse, not better. Because they have been affirming my negative, I've been affirming their negative, and now we're both negative. So that I can start making some choices in terms of finding people to be more positive. And I could practice that with people also. Looking at giving them positive feedback and saying to them positive statements and giving them compliments and suggesting things like, what is the opportunity you have here? So that what we are doing is that we are encouraging others rather than discouraging others. And that word is so interesting. So the word is courage. I'm either giving people courage or I am taking courage away. So when we're working at being optimistic, we want to encourage our friends, encourage family, be encouraged by others, encourage ourselves. And it helps us move beyond despair and hopelessness and negative self-talk to a better place where we feel more optimistic. Our self-esteem grows, we are less depressed and less anxious. So I want to apologize for the technical stuff. I don't know, Facebook decided for whatever reason that noon was a good time to do a maintenance thing. So I will not be here next week, actually. I'm going to be away next week. But I will be back the following week. So my suggestion is think about being optimistic, practice being optimistic. And go back to Counselor's Chat, look at some of the shows that I've done in the past, Counselor's Chat on Facebook, and see if there's anything there that you want to watch. I'd love for you to do that, and to follow me on Facebook on Counselor's Chat. Also, you can find me on the web at www.altarolcounselor.com. That's Altarol with two L's, counselor, O-R.com. That's my website, and you can call me at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899 if you're interested in leaving a comment about my show, leaving a suggestion for a topic, or if you would like to make an appointment for some counseling. I do not keep a waiting list, and so I would love to hear from you. So I am Ruth Altamirano-Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat, and I will be back in 2 weeks. And I wish you all good mental health.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamirano-Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or
everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort is sentenced to 3.5 additional years in prison for conspiracy and witness tampering. This all stems from the Russia investigation, and that brings Manafort's entire prison sentence up to 7.5 years. Canada became the latest country to ground all Boeing 737.